again, Medical Education Podcast listeners. This is Kevin Eva, the editor-in-chief, coming to you from the heart of winter here in Canada, which so far in Vancouver just looks like a whole lot of wetness. I do have the good fortune today, though, of speaking with another colleague from Canada who I've had the good fortune, again, of collaborating with over a few projects in recent years. His name is Matt Sibbald. He's an interventional cardiology fellow at the University of Toronto and a research scientist at the Hoping Kong Center for Excellence in Education and Practice. And today we're going to discuss some of the work that he's been conducting as part of his PhD through Maastricht University. This particular paper is being published in the March 2013 issue of Medical Education, and it's entitled Checklists Improve Experts' Diagnostic Decisions. Welcome, Matt, to the podcast, and thanks for making the time to chat with me.
It's a pleasure to be here and talk through some of this work with you.
Yeah, it's exciting work, and I was interested in part because it seems to be a paper where you bring together a couple different domains of study, at least two. There's this whole movement towards checklists in response to safety issues in the airline industry and in surgery and a number of other places, and also this extensive literature on diagnostic reasoning and how we might support it and help people become more expert. And this sort of cross-cutting work, I think, is particularly exciting. I wonder if I could start by just asking you what it was that led you to see the link and led you down this path.
Well, I think my interest in this began as a medical student. I remember being taught ECGs as well as a number of other medical skills with a very systematic approach. And it always struck me as interesting that my teachers never used that same systematic approach when they interpreted an ECG or a chest X-ray. And I wondered why that was. And as I began reading through the literature, it became apparent to me that there were a lot of things that experts developed very unique ways of really going about the task of interpreting an ECG or doing some other medical skill that couldn't easily be replaced by giving them a systematic checklist. And in fact, maybe there was a disadvantage to that type of approach. And so when I came across the movement to improve medical decision-making with checklists, I was a little bit worried about applying them to experts and decided to study it more formally, which led to this paper.
And can you tell us a bit more about the concerns you had about harming performance by giving checklists to people who seem to be sort of leaping forward and jumping to conclusions without going through these EKGs quite as systematically as you would as a trainee?
Yes, my read of things, as you became an expert, you automated a lot of the decision-making task, and that gave you a lot of mental room to finesse some of the details, and that was a good thing. And some of the expert performance was linked to that automatic way of doing things, which in this system processing literature relates to the more automatic and subconscious system one processing that's been described. I think there's been several studies previously that have looked at trying to get experts to do things in a less automatic way, and there seems to be a reversal of their expert performance. And in fact, it seems to harm their ability to make decisions, perhaps because it takes away some of their expert processing in their decision making. And it was this expertise reversal that I was most worried about inducing by giving experts checklists. And I thought one possible way around this was to actually delay when the experts were using the checklist, to really give them the opportunity to use their expert processing and decision making up front, but then revisit the decision with a checklist afterwards.
Right, and so you've really broken the diagnostic process down into a couple of stages then, and the intervention that you were testing in this particular study, if I understood correctly, was focused on that verification stage. Did you wait until they expressed some level of confidence in their diagnosis, or was it just more routine, go back and check your conclusion direction?
Our principal setup was to let the expert do everything they wouldn't ordinarily do, right down to writing down their interpretation. And then we had a variety of different conditions, but they all asked the expert to go back to their initial work. We were worried that even in mentioning to an expert that they would have to use a checklist ahead of time might have a detrimental effect, So for three of the four conditions, we only told them after they made the interpretation, now use the checklist. In the last condition, we lumped the entire instruction together. Go ahead and interpret this CCG as you ordinarily would, and then revisit the interpretation with a checklist to see what the effect of mentioning it ahead of time would have.
Right, okay, so just to fill in a little bit of the details for our listeners who might not have seen the paper yet, you had 15 experts who went through 24 EKGs, and those 24 were divided into four conditions, right? So this was within subject design where they worked through a series of experimental instructions?
That's right.
And can you give us the concrete details on what the instruction was in each of those four conditions?
So in the first condition, we asked experts just to interpret the ECG as they ordinarily would. And in the second and third conditions, we asked experts to revisit their interpretation and correct any mistakes. In the second condition, we didn't give them any framework for doing that and simply asked them, go back and look for mistakes and rewrite your interpretation. In the third condition, we gave them a checklist to use in their revisiting. And in the last condition, we asked them to interpret a fresh ECG and then verify that interpretation with a checklist.
Right. Okay. And so your earlier mentioned concern about expertise reversal, that wasn't expected in any of these particular conditions because you tried to deliberately build the checklist into the verification stage.
That's right.
And was your hypothesis borne out?
Well, it was, in fact. It seemed that experts were able to go back and correct mistakes, but they only really corrected mistakes when they revisited their interpretations with a checklist. And I think the thinking here was that experts have already been through their own way of processing the information, and if they were asked to repeat the task with the same way of looking at it, that they were unlikely to really change their ultimate interpretation or answer. But the checklist might give them a slightly different way of processing the information and a greater chance of detecting their errors. And in fact, that's what we saw. We saw that they were able to fix roughly 20% of their mistakes when they systematically went back to review the ECG interpretations.
Right, and I can easily imagine a situation where the checklist might have to be tailored to the specifics of the case, which wouldn't be terribly feasible. So I'm assuming that the details in terms of what was on that checklist were somewhat generic. There were things that should have been relevant across the board?
Yes. We're facilitated in several different skills in medicine with already having systematic approaches where the key variables involved in making a decision have been pulled out, identified, and usually taught specifically. And that's the case with ECGs. There's a set of seven or eight variables that are relevant to all ECGs that comprise the fundamental variables that go into the decision-making process. And that's what the checklist was made up of.
Very intrigued by the reaction that these individuals would have had upon going through that checklist. And just this week, I was on one of the wards observing one of our internal medicine physicians, and she very clearly was presenting EKGs to her trainees and indicated that she was relying on pattern recognition, but that they needed to use a more systematic approach to build up their own skill in this area. I'm trying to imagine, had I handed her the checklist at the end of her interpretation, for her to work through that would require her to be startled, I imagine, by seeing some things that she just missed without going through it more systematically. Did people seem surprised that they were seeing things after using the checklist that they must have missed in their initial impression?
Offhand, there were several comments to that effect, especially because many believe that they used a systematic approach the first time round.
Right.
And we had collected a little bit of formal data with a survey afterwards, and most had estimated that they spent roughly a quarter of the time interpreting the original ECG with the checklist-like systematic approach.
A quarter of the time. And so they felt like they were doing this even without it, which I guess is one of the main conclusions that comes even from the broader checklist movement, which is that it might feel like we know it all and we're going through it, but it's only when you force people to go systematically, piece by piece, that they actually catch everything.
I certainly agree. And trying to structure in that more formal way of checking things, I think has a lot of merit.
Yeah, so they're fascinating findings. I wonder about your thoughts on generalizability and where this work might go. Is this particularly effective because EKGs are something that you can literally measure and work through piece by piece, or do you see an opportunity to create similar sorts of checklists for broader, perhaps less well-defined problems?
So I think the strength of any checklist in any area really relies on deriving key variables that actually matter in the decision-making process. And I'm not sure that that's been done in all areas of medicine. In fact, I'm sure there are large areas of medical decision-making where it's going to be quite difficult to try and find those variables. I also think that the familiarity of the user with the checklist is important. And I'm cognizant of the fact that all of my experts would have been taught this systematic approach and would have been very familiar with these variables that I was giving them in the form of a checklist. And so it wouldn't have been a surprise to them that they needed to look at each of these particular pieces of information. As this gets applied in other settings and other contexts, I think it needs to be studied individually to make sure that the checklist value still carries through the content change.
So you're not in a position here of having to convince people that these variables you've included on the checklist are the key ones, whereas I know in some other domains there might be 20 different signs people look for when individuals advocate that there may be two or three key ones that need to be focused upon. So just as my final question, how would you advise others who are interested in doing that sort of work? Do you have any thoughts, or have you put any effort yourself into thinking through how one might go about creating that sort of consensus so that checklists might be at least tested in other domains?
I think it's a very relevant question as we move forward, and there's a strong push to try and introduce checklists in a variety of different areas of medicine. I think we start by testing in areas where we can actually measure error reproducibly, and we start in areas where there's already systematic frameworks that we can borrow, and low-hanging fruit where it's most likely to be successful.
Best of luck with it and with the completion of the rest of your PhD. I know this is only one part of it, and you've been very busy with your work in this domain, and wish you both congratulations and best of luck, as I said, in keeping it moving forward.
Well, it's been great being able to talk with you about it.
Yeah, my pleasure. I've quite enjoyed it. I'll just remind our listeners before we sign off that I've been speaking with Matt Sibbald, who's from the University of Toronto, and we've been discussing a paper that he and his co-authors have put in the March 2013 issue of Medical Education entitled Checklists Improve Experts' Diagnostic Decisions. Thanks again, Matt, and I'll look forward to seeing what comes next.
Thank you very much.